Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rolling. Hey, welcome to the Morning Wolfpack Share Your Salary podcast. It's Thursday. Matt McAllister here. Emily's here, of course.
Hi.
Slow Joe.
Yo.
And then we'll chat a little bit about who knows what, but take a listen to our Share Your Salary from today. Motorcycle Mechanic Lewis, or as we came to call him, Joint Base Lewis Mechanic. The greatest nickname ever.
Hey, thanks.
The Morning Wolfpack with Matt McAllister, 100.7 The Wolf.
How much do you think a Space Needle window washer makes? Or a barnacle scraper on the Bainbridge Ferry?
Dude, you're not supposed to ask someone how much money they make.
Maybe, but we can guess. Let's play Share Your Salary.
Because we all want to know what everybody else makes for a living, but it's never okay to ask until now. The last time we played Share Your Salary, we learned that escrow assistant Samantha is making about $100,000 a year. She's an assistant. Real estate in this town, I'll tell you what, it's nuts. All right, on the phone with us this morning is Lewis, who lives in Tacoma. Good morning, Lewis. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing great, man. Welcome to Share Your Salary. Thank you for calling in and being part of the solution, breaking down these social norms. We should be talking about what we're going to make if we get into a career, right, Lewis?
Yeah.
All right. Now, Lewis is a motorcycle mechanic. I believe another first for us.
Yeah.
So we'll put a minute on the clock, Lewis. We'll rapid fire questions your way. When we're done, we'll take a break by playing a 3-minute song. We'll come back. We'll guess what we think you make. And then you will tell everybody. Lewis, you're going to share your salary. Sound good?
Works for me.
I love it. Lewis is a man of few choice but poignant words, Emily. These questions have to be on point.
Okay.
Here we go. 1 minute on the clock begin.
Do you work for yourself?
No.
Do you know any other mechanics who've lost a finger?
Yes.
Do you work for a dealership?
Yes.
Have you ever lost a finger?
No.
Are you part of a union?
No.
Who makes the best hand soap?
Fast Orange.
How many other mechanics work where you do?
7.
Do you wear a work uniform with your name on it?
No.
So do you always work on one certain brand or all different kinds of motorcycles?
Right now, just one brand.
What is your favorite bike to work on?
Straight Blood.
Are you paid hourly or salary?
Hourly.
If you had to, and I know you work on one kind of bike, but which motorcycle would you say breaks down the most?
I would say Honda. I don't know.
How long
I'm sorry, Emily. Time is up. I know we had a lot of questions. Lewis, great job. Morning Wolfpack, if you want to help us out, just text right now your guess, 46150. What do you think Lewis in Tacoma is making every year as a motorcycle mechanic? Stand by. We're going to play the song. You're going to find out when he shares his salary next in 3 minutes.
The Morning Wolfpack with Matt McAllister, 100.7 The Wolf.
Let's play Share with Your Salary.
Because we all want to know what everybody else makes for a living, but it's never okay to ask until now. On the phone with us is Lewis in Tacoma. He's a motorcycle mechanic, and he was dubbed a nickname by Slow Joe, Joint Base Lewis Mechanic. I love that. Oh, nice one. All right, Emily, what else did we just learn?
Okay, so he doesn't work for himself. He's working at a dealership, so he's basically working on all one brand and gets paid hourly. He hasn't lost any fingers, but knows some people that have. Fast Orange is the favorite kind of soap, and his favorite kind of motorcycle to work on is Straight Glide?
Yeah, I guess. I'm not a motorcycle guy. I will tell you, he doesn't work at Honda. Okay, so Slow Joe, you were again the winner the last time we played, so you go first.
Man, I was just having this conversation with somebody else. I don't think mechanics make nearly what they're worth. They're magicians to me, and I don't understand why everybody doesn't tip them. So I'm going to go $52,000.
Emily, you're up next.
Well, I feel like motorcycles are more of a niche kind of mechanic, so I'm going to go a little higher. I'll go 60.
All right, I'm going to go with the text. I always do. Jessica in Bonnie Lake, thanks for taking the time. And, you know, we did have a car mechanic on one time. I think it was a BMW guy, mm-hmm. and he did make a lot of money. We don't even know if he's like a master mechanic. So she said 75. I like it. I will take the high end today, ladies and gentlemen. So it's 52, 60, and 75. But none of that matters, Lewis. It's time for you to share your salary to tell the entire city of Seattle and surrounding areas how much money you make every year. What's the number, Lewis?
35.
Oh, man. Slow Joe, you said it best when you were deciding how much you were going to guess. You don't get paid what you're worth. That's not a lot of money, Lewis, for what you do.
This is true, but I'm working my way up.
How long have you been doing this?
4 years.
So how long do you figure it's going to take you to get where you want to be salary-wise, Lewis?
About 4 more years.
And what is the high end of what you do? So the guy who's making the most money in the shop, what's he bringing home?
That I don't know. It's kind of shop norm. We don't really ask each other what we make.
But you know what we should? We should be saying, hey, what do you make? What do you make? Let's figure this out. Because right now they're playing around with this like little chessboard chip.
You should go to one of the guys you think is making a lot and say, hey, have you heard what they do on The Wolf? You should call it.
Good call. Yeah. All right, Lewis. We love you, buddy. Thanks for doing what you do and being a part of the Morning Wolf Pack.
Not a problem. Thanks a lot, guys.
So there you go. I always hate it, too, when somebody says a number and we're kind of disappointed because you don't want to say that you're disappointed. It seems rude to say, geez, man, $35K for 4 years on the job and training, and you're fixing, you're a mechanic.
Right.
That sucks.
I don't know what to say. I feel bad.
I think I said it in the segment, but I had this conversation with somebody because we were talking about cars, and I'm just like, yeah, you know what? Like, I wish, if there's one thing I wish I had done when I was younger, like, we had auto shop at school, you know, it was an extracurricular you could take and actually work on cars. And I didn't, of course, and so many friends did. But, like, to me, that's just like, It's such a valuable trade, you know? And for whatever reason, I know there's a lot of mechanics out there, whatever, but some of them make a lot of money.
Hell yeah.
But they still get, like, even if you're getting fairly compensated as a mechanic, it feels like they kind of get looked down upon. And a friend and I were discussing, like, why is that? Is it because they, like, get dirty, you know? Why do we pay somebody, why do we tip people that make our coffee, but the guy that does something we absolutely could not do for ourselves in any situation, we kind of shun them.
But you don't tip a doctor. I mean, when going to the tipping thing.
Yeah,
like,
no, I guess that's a good point as far as tips
go. Coffee's every day.
But I wonder if it's more like, you know you could get scammed by a mechanic because you don't know what the heck you're talking about.
Right.
They're talking about.
Yeah.
And they have this, your air filter. And like, you feel like you're always getting scammed even if you're not. Like, even if you have an honest mechanic, so it's like, maybe that's why, I don't know.
And I think there's a negative association with all of people in the car industry in general.
Right.
Because if you don't know, you don't know. I mean, when they hand you your latte, you take one sip of it, you're like, okay, yes, you made this right, it's perfect, thank you, you just made me so happy. You don't know. And I guess, too, there's this expectation with mechanics, like, our cars are supposed to run right, or our motorcycles. Mm-hmm. So when they don't, it's almost like you blame the guy fixing it. Like, hey, why is it breaking?
Well, and it's so inconvenient. Like, it's basically like taking a leg off. So people that depend on their cars, it's so inconvenient that you're automatically like upset no matter what when you go in, when you have to deal with that, you know?
So I always ask the same question about guys like losing fingers or, and I think a lot of, you know, questions come from your own experience. But I had a mechanic when I lived in California and he owned his own shop. He's a really good dude, but he at one point was a master mechanic for whatever the brand of car it was that I had at the time. It was a European car, which means he was like probably making $200,000 a year.
Right.
Wow.
And the only reason he owned his own service station with his own repair shop was because he accidentally put his hand into the fan blade of an automobile and it sliced off all four of his fingers.
Oh.
So they rushed him to
that do to the car?
Not my biggest concern at the moment.
I know,
like,
but I'm looking
at this guy's hand. But he showed me, and the reason you knew, because I think I asked about it, like, you know, you look at your hand and your fingers curve a certain way. His all curved the other way. And I go,
oh, wow.
What's up with your hand? He's like, well, I cut off all four fingers in a fan blade. So they rushed me to the emergency room. The only way they could reattach these fingers was to put them on backwards.
Huh. Weird.
So his fingers were literally like reverse. It was so weird. Like, he got to have fingers.
Could they bend?
Yeah. Oh. In honestly, this was like 20 years ago, and I'm trying to remember exactly how they looked, but you knew when you looked at his hand something wasn't right. He had fingers, but they were not on the right way.
I'm surprised they were able to get them quick enough and like be able to reattach them, and they weren't like lost and chopped up more than they should be or whatever.
Yeah, like even finding them in the engine.
Because
typically things go into the engine from the family.
Yeah.
Like, but though that's my experience, and maybe in my head I inaccurately think that everybody's had a finger chopped off if they're a mechanic, because there is a big ass fan blade that goes round and round and round.
It's interesting that I don't think it's really that common, but funny, he said yes, right?
He knew someone.
He knew somebody.
So my best friend's uncle, same thing, just super mechanically inclined guy, didn't just work on cars, but he did lose a finger, like an engine block fell on it or something like that. So
it seems like an inherently dangerous trade. That's all I'm saying. And for 35, I mean, motorcycles may be safer. But again, if you've ever sat on a big motorcycle like a Harley and started to tip over one direction, you can't stop it.
Yeah.
You can crush your leg.
I dated a guy, not surprisingly, it's a guy that also had me brew beer when I don't
drink. This guy. Was he like in a biker gang or something?
No, he had a Supra, which is like one of those cars. I don't know. They started making them again, but they didn't for a while. Anyway, it's one of the cars you really fix up.
A Toyota Supra? Okay.
But I have tiny hands. And so he would make me work on the car with him because I could get into places he couldn't. Like my little hands could fit into places. And he's like, you totally missed your calling because I could get under there and like wiggle up. And I helped him completely like redo his entire engine.
I'm looking at a Toyota Supra. These are like, is this kind of what it looked like? Those all look
pretty. Oh, yeah, and they're super loud. They try to make them as loud as they... I mean, it's a toy. It's definitely like, there's a club of them.
They were popular as like, they're all modified.
Yeah. So.
Emily, how did a guy get you, like, I know Emily, the Emily that I know. How did, like, you would literally come home from work and he'd be like, hey, I need you to come work on my car, and you would do it?
Okay,
that doesn't seem realistic.
It's kind of a sad story. He was extremely verbally abusive to me, and so it didn't start off that way. I mean,
but you just took all the fun out of it.
I know, well, but that's how. He got me to the point where I didn't do anything that I liked. We did everything he liked. We did, you know, I became what he wanted.
That
Finally, when I got out of it.
Working on cars.
Yeah, finally, like, when I got out of it, I was like, holy crap. But it was one of those that started off small or like, hey, and then to the point where I was like, yeah, I'll work on your car with you for 6 hours. I don't
see that happening. But again, there must have been something very dark and sinister at play to get you to be that productive.
I mean, you could say that about a lot of guys that are that manipulative.
Yeah.
It starts slow. And then you get to the point where you're so beaten down and you think, oh my God, he's
next
the only one
know,
that wants me.
You're changing oil.
Yeah, and brewing beer.
How old were you at the time?
22.
And he was the same age or older?
He was only a year or two older.
Jeez.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm curious as to the mindset. Like, how would he, and we don't have to, like, if it's a disturbing memory, we don't have to go there, but like, how does a guy like manipulate you into like working that hard and doing crap you don't want to do all the time?
I don't even.
Was
I
he
mean,
good in bed? I mean, what is the attraction here?
No, I think, and what's funny was he wasn't that attractive. In fact, I was like, oh, I'll give him a chance, even though he's not my typical guy. I don't know. He just wore down my confidence and my self-esteem. Like, he made me feel so fat and so worthless because I was just a regular waitress at the time. I was taking time off school, and he was a manager for the same company. So he kind of used that against me. And then, like I said, it started off small to the point where I was never good enough. And I was supposed to, I mean, he was one of those, like, food is on the table when you get home. The house is clean when you get home. Everything's taken care of. Everything, like, you have to do everything. I'm the man of the house. And looking back, I'm like, he was not even worth, like, there was not a redeeming quality about him at all. Like, one thing where I could be like, well, at least he was funny. At least, like, nothing. And I don't know. It was one of those, I just.
So you guys lived together?
Pretty much. I kept my house, but I stayed at his house all the time. But like, I bought him and his roommate Halloween candy, and he hid it from me. He was like, I don't trust you to not eat it. And he would come home every day. Did you go to the gym? Did you go work out? You're too fat. I'm like, and
the words you're too fat would come out of
all
his
the time.
Mouth.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
start,
I was
starting to feel like a good husband.
Well, 40 pounds lighter than I am now. Like, I was tiny.
Everybody has the same story. I know Sophie was in a similar relationship, but it was the same thing. You know, like, it doesn't make sense.
Once you're out of it.
Yeah, in retrospect, it doesn't make sense, but it does, like Emily said, it starts like little, you know, small things, and eventually, like, you just feel like, you just feel worthless.
And you don't even know how you got there. Like, what started it? Where was the first, like, little dig? And then, after a couple months, like.
Well, and people say the same thing about relationships that are physically abusive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, people are like, why can't you leave? You're getting punched in the face.
Battered wife syndrome.
Yeah.
So do you think the guys that do that know what they're doing, or they're just mean people? Like, do you think there's a Charles Manson, like, I know how to manipulate others to do what I want them to do?
I think some of them, yes. I think him, personally, like, if we got him on the phone right now and I was like, you were so verbally abusive, he'd be like, no, I'm not. What are you talking about? Like, he doesn't see it as, that's just what a woman is supposed to do. They're supposed to cater to the man. They're supposed to stay fit and be, like, the perfect little trophy, whatever. And it's like, he doesn't see it as him being rude or manipulative or abusive at all.
Did you ever meet his parents?
Yeah. Well, his dad, his mom had already passed.
Okay. Maybe lucky for her. Because I'm just wondering where you learned that. Where do you think that's your normal?
I mean, his dad was nice to me, but we didn't spend that much time together, so I don't know. I know
his dad ever told you to get to the gym?
His mom was an alcoholic, so he didn't have the best upbringing. But yeah.
That could have been her way of coping with a similar relationship.
Yeah. I'm sure it was.
Yeah, I mean, you have to learn that. I mean, that's... I don't know. I was raised by two women, so everything I learned was the opposite.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, don't even look at my purse. Respect. You know, it was just totally different.
Yeah.
So it's a mindset that I'm not familiar with, but it's, I know it happens all the time.
Yeah, way too
you
just, common.
And when you're in it, you're right. Like, listen, I was divorced, so obviously I was not in a good marriage. And looking back on it, it's like shocking how bad it was.
Oh, yeah.
But when you're in it, you're like, what am I going to do? This is my world.
Well, you just...
especially with kids.
You think about all the things that you thought were normal in your first marriage that just absolutely
like never having sex?
Yeah, or just like...
You guys don't have sex, do you?
Dude,
I remember a friend of mine actually telling me a story about that, like how his wife like initiated at one time and he was kind of asleep. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, she wanted to do that?
Yeah.
That was something that was her idea? She's like, yeah, dude, it was like 6 a.m. I was like, whoa. We were playing golf.
Yeah.
And I was like blown away.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Case in point.
Yeah. And it was.
Wait, you don't sleep with pillows in between you?
Yeah.
Like a wall of pillows?
Yeah. You're still allowed to kiss your wife?
Yeah.
You hold hands? What the hell are you talking about?
And it wasn't my first real boyfriend, because my first boyfriend was the college guy that we'd been together for 3 years, but it was the first guy that we spent all day together and basically lived together.
Yeah,
so
you didn't know.
My first like adult relationship, I didn't know. And the funny thing is, and this I find is the case in point for most of these, like he wanted me to go to the gym, but he didn't work out.
Yeah.
Like he was naturally skinnier, but he couldn't understand why I didn't get my degree, but he didn't get his college degree. Like it was like, what?
Yeah.
Okay. Like nothing made sense.
Very hypocritical.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's how I ended up digging my hand into Supras.
I love where we end up.
Yep.
Based on share your salary.
Hey, real quick though, this is probably our last like post share your salary free for before we come back, right?
Yep. And that's my fault because I'm going to jump on a plane tomorrow and it's going to be right after the show. And we won't have time to go to do all this fun stuff.
So you're spending your holiday in Arizona,
I'll just
right?
be in Arizona with family for 2 weeks, which will be great. But don't worry, it is cold there in the morning.
I remember.
It warms up to like 60, but it's cold. Like it's 40 in the morning, 45 maybe.
Em, you're going to?
So I'm going to Turks and Caicos. For a couple of days.
Which is just
poor
like,
baby.
Turks and Caicos, I only know from like Jay-Z songs.
It is the best beach in the world. Like,
really?
It is rated that. It's gorgeous. It's my favorite. I'm super excited about that.
Is that technically in the United States?
No.
Which country?
It's British colony, okay, I think, but I think it's its own country.
Right. What's the currency there?
I don't know.
Probably pound. If it's one of the colonies, like it's
we do all inclusive. Like we don't leave.
Yeah, it's the best.
But I know they celebrate Boxing Day, which means they're
from a British.
Yeah. And then.
So you're like an all inclusive resort.
Yes.
Where there's food 24/7.
Yes.
Oh, God, those things kill me.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
speaking
amazing.
We talked
like
a lot about.
There's like 27 restaurants.
Oh.
And, yeah.
We talked about scales and weight. And we did one of those too, where if you want to go to like the nice restaurant, you got to pay a little extra.
Mm-hmm.
But like you wake up in the morning, there's just a buffet. It's ready for you.
You know, this is all inclusive drinks, everything. The only thing about the nice restaurant, the hibachi, you have to get a reservation, but nothing, like everything is paid for.
And you can't tip.
You don't tip. Yeah, you can't tip. And it's beaches, so that means it's kid-friendly. So there's a water park, so we do like the water slides and stuff. It's a lot of fun.
I love how the fact that it's kid. Most adults would say that was a negative, and you're like, oh, no, I can do all the kid
activities.
They're
really cool water slides, guys.
Well, she doesn't drink, so I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
I do get the virgin mud slides, which is basically a chocolate milkshake, but...
Hey.
And then after that, right after Christmas, we'll go back to Atlanta. Andrew is going to fly in, and he's going to spend New Year's in Atlanta with me, so we'll do a week there. We'll all kind of show him around because he's never been there.
Atlanta's cool spots, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the only time my memories of Atlanta are sitting in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like here.
Well, I'm going to show him the Georgia Aquarium, which is really cool. I'll show him Georgia Tech, like my school.
Will you take him to the original Chick-fil-A and sort of get prepped for your new diet?
No. We won't do the original Chick-fil-A. We will do Waffle and Texas Roadhouse and the Varsity. So we've got some stuff planned while we're there.
You know, they have those here, don't they? Texas Roadhouse?
No.
They're not here?
They're not anywhere near. I think Oregon might be the closest.
You're a big fan that much? Or you want to show them where you worked?
Where I worked.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
And then Slow Joe, you're just here.
We're here. We're going to go see my mom next week. So either on Christmas Eve or Monday, we'll head out there. If we can get there, there's a lot of snow in the pass. And then we're going to go to San Francisco for New Year's.
Boy, yeah, this storm that's supposed to hit tonight is like legit. I'm supposed to be out riding my bike in it, which I will be.
Right.
But it's supposed to be insane.
It's just going
to
be rain here, though, right?
Yeah, but like 30 mile an hour winds, and it's supposed to be apocalyptic the way they're describing it. Of course, the weather always gets overhyped.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. A ton of the skiing this weekend is supposed to be amazing.
I know. We're hoping it goes down a little bit. Otherwise, we'll have to figure out and see if we can rent a car.
I saw a video on Twitter how to just kind of like a quick reminder video how to put on chains.
I saw that too.
If you're I dug this up. Here's how to put on chains, everybody.
Does your mom live, like, can you go skiing on your way to her?
I think the only ski resort is the one at Snoqualmie on
the
way to
her. Just flat and farming. It's flat. There's nothing.
It gets back into the mountain to where my mom is. So there, she's got tons of snow there. But they don't have, like, a ski resort.
The Palouse. The Palouse region of eastern Washington. All right, you guys, listen, we love you. Have a great holiday break. And, we're back on the air tomorrow, but there probably won't be a podcast. So we love you guys. Thanks for checking us out, and we'll see you on Jan 6.
The Morning Wolf Pack with Matt McAllister.
Weekday mornings from 5 till 9.
On 100.7 The Wolf.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.